We're blessed with young people here, aren't we? Young people leading the whole service. Music, offering, scripture prayer, elder responsibilities. Good to have our young people involved. Let's pray before we get into the word today. Father in heaven, we've been blessed. You ask for continued blessing, that our hearts and minds will be sharp, alert, awake, that we will hear you speaking to us through your word. We send your Holy Spirit to guide us, not only those here, but also those watching online. In Jesus' name we pray. So welcome to 2021. 2020 is over. Who's glad 2020 is over? Oh, two hands back there from Ramon. Both hands, yeah. It's gone. Hallelujah. Being optimistic about the new year is a good thing. It's a fresh start, so to speak. But I believe the reality of our deeply troubled planet will quickly emerge. What will happen in this new year of 2021? The Lord knows. I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, but here's what I think. I think 2021 will probably be as bad as 2020. Sorry to give you the bad news today. That's what I think. Probably at least as bad, possibly even worse. How could it get worse than 2020? Why do I say what I've just said? Because the Bible tells us that before life is really going to get better, it will get much worse on planet Earth. In other words, before Jesus comes to rescue us and take us to our heavenly home, life on Earth will continue spiraling out of control with disease, sickness, death, pain, war, famine, earthquakes, persecution. Just like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24. 2020 is gone. But let's briefly remember some highlights. Remember the huge fires you saw on TV or on your news, however you watch the news on your phone, your tablets, your laptops. Huge fires in Australia, in South America, in North America. We even had some fires in Lebanon. COVID-19 hits early in 2020, shutting down most of the world for long periods of time, including closing down airports, including closing down churches. What is this? We have never seen anything like it in our lifetime. The economies of the world have suffered, with Lebanon suffering worse than many other nations. Racial injustice led to protests and riots in the U.S. and in other parts of the world. Then the August 4 blast here in Beirut, which none of us can forget. And as I saw some of these year-in-review videos, did anybody watch the year-in-review video of 2020 on YouTube, some of you? Yeah, in all of these YouTube year-in-review videos, guess what is featured? The blast in Lebanon. What a strange year. What an unusual year. A devastating year. And then, of course, the government resigns a week later. And the new government has not yet been formed in this country. And so we are in the middle of uncertainty. The pandemic's not over. We still have to wear our masks. We still have to social distance. We still have all these restrictions. In the United States, Times Square in New York City is the biggest party. Usually a million people pack the streets to watch the ball drop. This year, nobody's there. It's forbidden. There's no public gatherings to watch the ball drop. If you want to watch it, just watch it on TV. How strange. How strange. 2020. It's gone. It's history now. Amen. But let's learn an important lesson from 2020. What is that lesson? Wake up. Wake up. Here's the alarm clock. Wake up. Wake up, world. Wake up, church. Jesus is coming soon. Ready or not, here he comes. Romans 13 and verse 11. The Bible says, this is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Wake up, world. Wake up, church. Time is running out. Jesus the Savior is coming. Could it be that 2020 was meant to be an urgent wake-up call? The alarm clock is ringing. Beep, 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 beep. And the world is smashing it down. Be quiet. We don't want to hear it. We want to go back to sleep. Beep, 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 beep. Snooze. Many people in the world are just hitting the snooze button. Snooze, snooze, snooze. They're sleeping spiritually. And no matter what's happening in the world in 2020 that should have woken them up, snooze, let's go back to sleep. They don't want to wake up. What about you? What about me? Are we spiritually asleep too? Sound asleep? Oblivious to the 2020 alarm clock that has been ringing? It's no time, friends, to hit the snooze button. No time for that. It's time to wake up. It's time to be ready for Jesus to come. This morning, let's briefly look at four non-negotiable spiritual activities. Non-negotiable, meaning they're essential. They're vital for our spiritual health in 2021. We could also call them four essential keys to being ready for Jesus' second coming. Key number one, grab your Bibles, please. Open them to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew, what chapter? 11. And verse 28. Red letters in the Bible here. Jesus is speaking. He says, Matthew 11, 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus extends an invitation. And who is invited here? Jesus invited people, didn't he, Eva? Who did he invite? The Bible says, all who are weary and burdened. Well, let me ask a question. Who isn't weary and burdened after 2020? When I see Ramon raising both hands, I know he's tired of 2020. He's ready for something else. But 2021's not the solution. Jesus is the solution. 2021 so far feels a lot like 2020. I think it's going to feel that way a long time. But the solution is to come to Jesus. Jesus invites all who are weary and burdened to come to Him. All the people, young, old, even the children, Jesus once told the disciples, "Let the little children come to me." He wants the kids to come to him. He wants anyone who is thirsty to come to him. And what's the promise for those who come? Jesus says, "I will give you rest." Do you want to experience the rest that Jesus offers? I certainly do. This rest is more than just a short Sabbath afternoon nap. The rest that Jesus gives us goes beyond physical rest even. It includes peace in our hearts and our minds, spiritual rest, emotional rest. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." God wants all of us to have perfect peace, to have the rest that Jesus offers. The promise of rest is for those who come to Jesus. So how do we come to him? What does it mean to come to him? We come to him primarily in two ways, individually, by talking and listening to him in prayer, and by reading his holy word. What does the Bible say in regards to prayer and Bible study? Well, you're in Matthew already. Go to Matthew 6 and verse 6 now. Jesus tells us, "But you, when you pray," here's what you should do. "Go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Jesus is emphasizing that we need to have private communication with him. We need to talk with him one-on-one. We need to be alone with God so that we can listen to him. Many years ago, during the 2002-2003 school year, which is about 18 years ago, I served as a student missionary in Chuuk. I think some of you have heard me mention Chuuk before. Where is Chuuk? It's in the Federated States of Micronesia, way over on the other side of the world, close to Guam in the Pacific Ocean, east of the Philippines. Okay? I taught Bible there, and I taught English to the students, grades 9 to 12, for one school year. Great experience. One of the best experiences of my life. I would hope that some of you would have the experience to go, you young people, go be a student missionary at some point in your life. And so I shared, while I lived there, I shared a small one-bedroom apartment with two roommates. So there was three of us sharing a one-bedroom apartment. All three of us slept in this bedroom. I had the single bed. The other guys shared the bunk beds. There's our kitchen. That's where I learned how to cook a little bit. Had a lot of peanut butter. It was good. We survived. But in this little apartment, two other guys, sometimes it was hard to find peace and quiet. Someone's always going around making noise, cooking, doing something, and it's distracting. So this would disrupt my devotional time, my time with God. So I decided I would leave my apartment in the mornings and I would go to my classroom where I would teach. Of course, long before the students would ever arrive, I would go to my classroom where it's quiet, no distractions, no noise. I would spend time with Jesus. I would read my Bible. I would pray in the quiet of my classroom. That was my secret place with God. And eventually, I learned to start writing my prayers out in a journal. Some of you might have a prayer journal where you record your prayers, you write out a prayer. This is what I do oftentimes. Not every day, but oftentimes I do this. I'll write out my prayer, Dear Father in Heaven, and I write it out. This helps keep my mind focused on talking to God instead of wandering onto many things of what I'm going to do that day. The important thing is that we pray. Find a place, go there and pray. Maybe it's a chair in your dorm or in your house. Maybe it's outside. Wherever it is, just go to that place, quiet place, and pray. Read your Bible. Focus on God. We can pray no matter what we're doing, really. We can pray while we're out for a walk, walking around on campus, walking in the mountains, walking by the sea. We can pray while we're cooking, while we're cleaning, when we're doing many different things. But as I found out in marriage, talking with Katie while doing other things is good. But there's a need also for focused, uninterrupted, undistracted communication. When the only thing that's happening is I'm talking with Katie, I'm listening to her. We're not busy doing a million other things. Focused time together. Likewise, the Bible says we should pray without ceasing. So we should have a continuous conversation with God. But we can't just say, oh, I always pray. And we never have focused, intentional time with God when we're praying and we're not doing anything else. We need that time, uninterrupted, undistracted, talking to Jesus, listening to Him. One thing that makes that possible is the private place. Find that private place and go there to spend time with God. Many of us feel our need to come to Jesus by reading his word and through prayer. We know it. You say, Pastor, we've heard this before. We know it. But we don't do it because we're too busy. Well, if we're too busy, then what keeps us too busy? Oh, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, a million other things you could list, Twitter. I don't even know the newest things. We're distracted by social media. Oh, the news. What's happening in Lebanon now? What's happening in America now? What's happening in the Middle East? What's happening in other parts of the world? We can get sucked in to this little device for hours and hours, or the TV or your laptop. We're so busy. But we're busy with what? We're busy with friends. We're busy with family. These are good things also. We're busy with sports. Sports is good. It's good to play, good exercise. Maybe you're making New Year's resolutions. I'm going to exercise more. Good for you. But don't let everything in the world manipulate your time and monopolize your time and leave you with no time for God. Oh, I've got to study for my test. I've got to go to work. I've got to clean the house. I've got to clean the campus. But no time for Jesus. No time for God. Notice these words from the Great Controversy, page 519. Satan well knows that all whom he can lead to neglect prayer and the searching of the scriptures will be overcome by his attacks. Therefore, he invents every possible device to engross the mind. Satan wants your time. He wants your mind. But we have a choice in this matter. Will we neglect prayer? Will we neglect our Bibles? Or will we come to Jesus? Will we come to him like he invites us? Jesus longs to give us rest, to give us peace. If we will just come to him and sit at his feet for a while, we will have this peace. We'll have this rest. Think of it this way. How often do you need physical rest? Every day, right? Every night you're going to sleep. So how often do we need spiritual rest? Once a week on Sabbath, we come to church, hear a sermon, and that's it? No. No, no, no. If that's all the rest you're getting spiritually, you're going to be famished spiritually. You need to eat spiritual food every day. You need time with Jesus every day. Kilyom, I said it many times. Arabic for every day. Do you want to be ready when Jesus comes the second time? Four keys this morning that we're looking at. Key number one, the way to be ready is by walking with God daily. Come to Jesus every day to experience his divine rest and peace. Key number two, for being ready for Jesus' second coming, family worship. And how often should we have family worship? Every day, kilyom, the same. Every day, personally, having time with God. Every day as a family with God. Whatever your situation is, you say, Pastor, I'm just married. I don't have any kids yet. Am I supposed to have worship with my spouse? Yes, of course. I live with family members. You know, I'm not married, no children. Have family worship with your family, your parents, your cousins, your aunties, uncles, whoever lives with you. Make it a priority. Sing, pray, read the Bible together in your home. Joshua 24, verse 15 says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I hope that each of us will make this decision. This year, we're going to spend time with Jesus as a family. Every day. One example of this, I believe, is the story of Noah. Remember good old Noah? Only eight people were saved in the ark. Him, his wife, their three sons, and their wives. Eight people. And that's it. And he preached for a long time. He gave the invitation to many, many people in the world. Come, come, get in the boat. A flood is coming. The world's going to be destroyed. God wants to save you if you'll just get in the boat. But people said, no, we're sleepy. It's never rained before. You're crazy, Noah. We're not getting in that boat. Even when we see all the animals come and get in the boat in a miraculous way, nope, we're going back to sleep. This is what happens in the world. We just want to sleep. Noah got in the boat with his family. Only his family was saved. So we need to prioritize our families, friends. Maybe you have not been having family worship in the past, but it's a new year. Have a new start. Spend time as a family worshiping the Lord every day. Key number three for being ready for Jesus' second coming. Worshiping with your church family every week. So I had to learn a new Arabic phrase because every week is not kilyom. This one's a little bit harder for me, so you're going to have to help me. Kil Juma. Did I say it right? Every week. Or another way of saying it is Kil Isbua, right? Every week, spend time worshiping God together as a church family. You want to be ready for the second coming of Jesus? We need to be worshiping the Lord together as a church family. Go to Hebrews Chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, and verse 25. I like how it says it in the New International Reader's Version. It says, let us not give up meeting together. Some are in the habit of doing this. Instead, let us encourage one another with words of hope. Let us do this even more as you see Christ's return approaching. Every week, worshiping with your church family. We're still in the middle of a pandemic. I realize that. So if you prefer to watch online, no problem. God bless you. Watch online. But my appeal to you who are watching online is, don't miss a week. Not even a single week. Just because you're watching online doesn't mean you're off. It's not Sabbath. No, it's still Sabbath at home. worship with us every week. If you feel comfortable attending in person, for those of you who are here, don't miss a week. The pandemic doesn't create a holiday for the Sabbath, for worship. No, no, we need each other even more now. We need to support each other spiritually during these difficult times that are leading up to the return of Jesus. Church and Sabbath school. Let me emphasize Sabbath school, because sometimes we have more people at church and less people at Sabbath school, but we need to be in Sabbath school also. Every week, it's part of God's end time strategy to keep us spiritually strong and prepared for Jesus' return. Key number four, we're almost done. Watch, pray, and witness. Watch, pray, witness. Go to Mark chapter 13, please. Mark chapter 13. Got to see the words of Jesus again. Mark 13, starting in verse 33, Jesus said, "Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest, coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Watch, watch, watch," Jesus says. "Wake up, wake up, watch and pray, pay attention. 2020 was a wake-up call." Speaking of a wake-up call, did you hear about the Christmas Day suicide bombing in Nashville, Tennessee? In the United States? What a shocker. The crime is still being investigated, but what the news is saying is that an RV was driven downtown in Nashville and parked in front of an important telecommunications building, AT&T, which is a huge telecommunications company. And around 6:30 in the morning, the RV blows up, a huge explosion, not huge compared to the one in Lebanon, but big nevertheless, and dozens of businesses are damaged. Miraculously, only a few people were hurt. Nobody was killed except the suicide bomber. What's so strange about this apparent suicide bombing is that the RV had an external audio system, speakers on the outside of it. And it had somewhat of a countdown to the explosion. 15 minutes before the vehicle blew up, a computerized voice was playing through the speakers, repeatedly broadcasting a warning that this vehicle will explode in 15 minutes. And then it changed to 14 minutes. And it broadcasts this message. If you can hear this message, evacuate now. If you can hear this message, evacuate now. Strange. The police were called to the scene when calls came in from people saying they heard gunfire early Christmas morning and that there was some suspicious vehicle parked on the street. When the cops got there, they heard the RV's countdown to the explosion. And they take it seriously. And they start knocking on doors. It's 6:20 in the morning, Christmas morning. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Hello? Yeah, wake up. You got to get out of here. There's a bomb going to explode there in 15 minutes, 14 minutes. Yalla, get out of here. I don't know if they said yalla. Probably don't know Arabic in Nashville. Some of them do. Wake up, and get out. People lived in apartments there. Get out before this thing explodes. Can you imagine? Christmas morning, you answer the door. You see police officers telling you to get out of your house right away because there's a bomb about to detonate. Are you going to go change your clothes and get out of your PJs, or are you just going to run? Hop in your car and go. Thank God for those police officers who quickly evacuated as many people as they could to save people's lives. I think we can find some spiritual lessons from this very strange and tragic bombing. Could we compare the events of 2020 with that RV broadcasting that warning message? Was 2020 a warning message to the world? Was God using the events of 2020 as a wake-up call? Wake up, world. Wake up, church. The world as we know it is about over. There's a countdown to destruction. But only God knows the exact timing. He told us the signs to watch out for. In Matthew 24, we see these things happening right before our eyes. So we know the end is near. 15 minutes to destruction. 14 minutes to destruction. 13 minutes, 12 minutes, 11 minutes. But instead of urgently evacuating, Jesus' message is different. He's saying, get ready. Get ready. Watch and pray. Wake up. Wake up spiritually so you'll be ready when I come, because I'm coming to evacuate you. Be ready. And perhaps you and I could be compared to those police officers, risking our lives to give the warning message to those who are sound asleep. We need to watch and pray, and we need to witness to others. Jesus said the gospel needs to go to the whole world, and then the end will come. Most of the world is still asleep, focusing on the here and now, without much thought for eternity. God wants those people to wake up and turn to Him. The countdown is almost over. He needs you and I to go knock on those doors, knock on those computers, through Facebook, through Instagram, through social media. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Wake up, world. Wake up, friends. Jesus is about to come. Are you ready? Get ready. He's coming. You and I are a vital part of God's strategy to give the warning to others so they can find safety in Jesus Christ. So as we conclude, I appeal to you with these four essential keys for being ready for Jesus' second coming. Come to Jesus every day. Family worship every day. Worshiping with your church family every week. And last but not least, watch, pray, and witness to help others find eternal safety in Jesus Christ. May God help us all to practice these four non-negotiable spiritual activities in 2021. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, ...2020 was a wake-up call, but Lord, many are sleeping through the alarm. Help none of us to be sleeping through that alarm. And help us, Lord, to be your witnesses, to give the warning message to the world so they can be ready when Jesus comes to evacuate us from this planet that is going to be destroyed soon. Lord, I pray for each one of us individually here that we will commit this new year to spend time with you every day. Help us not to be too busy by doing anything else. Help us prioritize you, to seek first you and your kingdom and your righteousness. Lord, help us to spend time with you every day as a family. Help us to gather our children together, our families together, whoever our family is, to worship you every day. Lord, I pray for our church family to gather together every week to encourage each other as well. We need each other during these difficult days. The Bible tells us we need each other to encourage each other, to help each other forward during these difficult days. Help us be committed to that more, Lord. And Lord, help us to watch and pray and witness to the people in this city, in this country, in this world, so more people will be ready when Jesus comes. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.